I invite you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 8 in the New Testament, New Covenant. Matthew 8, page is 855 in the Pew Bibles. We'll be reading in from verse 7, chapter 7, verse 28, just before chapter 8. And we'll be reading till verse 17, we'll be focusing on verses 1 through 4. So just before this, of course, is the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, most famous sermon in the world, and rightly so. And we'll pick up the Bible reading at 7, verse 28. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And here begins our text, chapter 8, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities, that's our sicknesses, and bore our sicknesses. You can keep reading if you wish. We won't have time to read it, but in verse 23 and following, he calms the sea with a word. He rebukes the sea. And in 28 and following, he casts out demons with one word, go. You see his power and authority there. Beloved Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's an old film called Ben-Hur, and in this old film, perhaps you've seen it, part of the most famous part of the film is a chariot race, and there the hero, a good man if I remember correctly, and his evil enemy face each other in this chariot race, and it's quite dramatic and long, but in the end, the enemy falls from his chariot and is trampled by the horses. He's still alive just after that, and they bring him to the doctors. The doctors say, if we want to save your life, we have to amputate, we have to cut off your legs. He denies, he says, no, I don't want that. He asks for our hero to come in before him, he calls for our hero. So the man comes in before this dying Roman man. And as he's dying, he says to our hero, he says, you know, your long-lost mother and sister, whom you thought were dead, actually, they are alive, he says to him. But you'll find them, he says, in the community of the lepers, in the community of the lepers. And so he dies, the enemy, wicked man, but happy to get his vengeance over his enemy in the end. Lepers and leprosy, there was no sickness that produced fear like that one. It started with just a little spot, a little white spot on your skin. But if you saw that spot, then your blood would freeze in your veins, because leprosy was without cure. It was without remedy, without treatment, and little by little, it would cover your entire body. Lepers had to live the rest of their lives in complete quarantine, cut off from God's people, cut off from God himself, until they got better, which in most cases would not happen. They would be like that until their death. You can read as well about sometimes that they would be given a little bell, and they would have to ring, or they would have to call out, unclean, unclean, as they walked along, so that people would stay far away from them. Nothing would create fear like the little ding-ding of that bell. It was a living death or a deathly life. But our Lord does not fear. He does the unthinkable. He reaches out and touches this man. That's what we want to see this morning. We want to see Jesus, our Lord, in this passage. We want to see his compassion, his power, his goodness, his authority. I preach to you the word of God with this theme. Jesus, our Lord, has total authority over being sick and unclean, being dirty inside. This authority is seen by faith, it is shown by touch, and is signed by Moses. Actually, our second and third point sort of run together. I couldn't keep them separate, so... this authority of Jesus is, first of all, seen by faith. A little bit of context as we begin. The Gospel of Matthew has five sections. Well, it has 28 chapters, but it has five sections, five different parts of it. You can see the transitions between the two sections, between the different sections in 11 verse 1, 13 verse 53, 19 verse 1, and 26 verse 1. Just before this, we have the end of a section. Matthew signals the end of a section with words like in 7 verse 28, he says, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings." He does that four times to signal the start of a new section. And so this is the beginning of a new section here. Different people, D.A. Carson has titled this section, "Jesus Extends the Kingdom with His Authority." And we see his authority, his power, his right to govern, to command, to heal, to forgive. He extends his kingdom with his authority. And here we particularly see his authority over sickness and disease. But who are the people at the start of this new section who understand this authority? Well, in what follows, just after this, we have a Roman centurion, an outsider, a pagan by birth. He gets it. He understands it. And here, the first person to come to Jesus is this leper, this outcast, this pariah. He was the first one to come to Jesus. But it's he and this pagan who see, first of all, their sight by faith is surprising. So we'll focus this morning on the leper. Verse 1 says that great multitudes, when Jesus came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. There's a contrast in the passage here. It says, so you can imagine the scene, Jesus just finished his Sermon on the Mount, great multitudes. It doesn't just say a multitude, it says multitudes, plural, crowds were all around him, around Jesus, coming down from the mountain. You can imagine that in your mind. And then all of a sudden there's this leper, this single man, this outcast, coming alone to Jesus. And before this man, this single man, the crowds part, as it were, like the Red Sea before Moses, and he comes straight up to Jesus. Who knows what he had to endure to get to Jesus? Insults, reproaches, comments, perhaps stones from people. By law, he was not allowed to be anywhere near God's people. He had to stay far away, but here he comes straight through the crowd. He comes right to Jesus, and he falls at his feet, and he says to him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Our text here says in the New King James, he came before Jesus and he worshipped him. And the root word there can mean worship. It simply means falling down before him. It's a simple body posture, laying down or kneeling down before Jesus, but it captures everything. This leper before Jesus, begging him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." His words capture everything. He calls him Lord. It's the first time in the Gospel of Matthew that someone calls Jesus Lord. The term speaks of Jesus' total power, his total authority, his total right to rule. Later, this would be the great test of the Christian church, if the Roman Caesar was Lord or if Christ was Lord. Perhaps you've heard of Polycarp many years before. Polycarp was brought before, I don't know who it was, a magistrate, and he had to say before the magistrate two words in Roman or three words in English, "Caesar is Lord." He said, "No, how can I do that? Jesus Christ is my Lord. How can I deny him?" He would not say that. He went to his death. This leper, this rejected man, is the first in the Gospel of Matthew to call Jesus Lord. And Jesus had called himself that just before that in 7 verse 22 in the Sermon on the Mount. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord." So you can imagine perhaps this leper at the very outskirts of the crowd, listening, craning his ears to hear from at a distance. He hears Jesus, he understands, he gets it, he comes to Jesus, "Lord, Lord," calls out to him. The beggar before the King of Kings, he waits with humility and patience before him. Another surprising thing that he says is, "You can make me clean." He doesn't say, "You can heal me." He says, "You can make me clean," or cleanse. No, here it's clean. "You can make me clean." Well, that's surprising for us, but not so much for a Jew. We would focus on leprosy as a sickness, a health problem, and we'd be right in that sense. Actually, the scientific name for leprosy is Hansen's disease. You can see it in the very name for leprosy, Hansen's disease. We view it in those terms. We come even to passages of the Bible with that in mind. Leviticus 13, it talks about how to deal with a leper. If there's any doubt whether it's a leprosy or not, then the priest had to shut up the leper for 7 days to check him over, and then 7 days again, quarantine, to shut him up to see if it was really leprosy or not. And if it was leprosy, he had to stay in quarantine for the rest of his life. And it's true, God did have the health of his people in mind, their well-being, so that his leprosy wouldn't spread from one person to the next. But what we don't instinctively get is that this wasn't just a health issue. It was a matter of being clean. That's what the leper says, "You can make me clean." And here we have to get into the subject of being clean or unclean in the whole Old Testament. God said to his people, "If you want to come to me, you have to be pure and holy and clean. Be holy as I am holy." You have to separate yourself from all that is sinful, but not just all that is sinful, all that is dirty, all that is filthy, all that is contaminated as well. To give a popular example, if you're going to go out with your girlfriend, you don't arrive at her house all covered in dirt and all covered in sweat. You wash yourself, you clean yourself. Most people before coming here probably took a bath last night or this morning. Same thing. God is teaching his people, "To come to me, you have to be clean." But you see why the leper could not come near to God. He was covered with sickness. He was covered with dirtiness, not being pure. He had no entry into God's holy people. He had no entry into God's holy home, his temple. He was cut off from God himself. No contact, just contact with other lepers. Leviticus 13, 45-46, the well-known passage says the following: "Leprous person who has a disease shall wear torn clothes," rip his clothes, "let the hair of his head hang loose," not put gel in his hair, not clean himself at all. "He shall cover his upper lip," cover his face, "and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has a disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Perpetual mourning for himself." But this man said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." The priests in Leviticus 13 and 14 could not clean a leper. He had to examine him. He had to check him over. If he was healed, he could declare him clean. He could have processes, sacrifices to cleanse him finally. But he couldn't make him clean of his leprosy. But this man said, "Lord, you can. If you're willing, you can make me clean. You have the power." I want to come back for a minute just to those words, if you are willing, before I move on. We can sometimes fall into the trap of thinking that if we only have enough faith, or called to have faith, just like the Roman centurion later, as you have believed, so let it be done to you. We can sometimes, at the same time, fall into the trap of thinking, well, if we just have enough faith, if we just pray hard enough, if we just believe it with all of our heart, then we'll see miracles and God will heal the person. Well, that's not what the leper says. We've had a very difficult year this past year in Tepic. How many times did we pray for one of our brothers, David, there? How many times for another brother, Martin? And still the Lord took them both. Did we not pray hard enough? Did we not believe hard enough? Well, the leper says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, we see perfect faith, perfect humility in him, waiting upon the King of Kings. And if God makes our loved ones well, glory be. If God doesn't, well, glory be as well. We can rest in our Lord. So the authority of Jesus was recognized by this man. But it is also shown in how Jesus healed him. The passage says that Jesus stretched forth his hand, touched the man, and that instant he was clean, cleansed of his leprosy. That's what we want to see now. The authority of Jesus is shown by his touching the man. Once again, there are several contrasts in the passage that show his authority. First of all, if you have your Bible open, you can look at the difference between how Jesus healed the centurion's servant in what follows and how he healed his leper. And the centurion's servant, Jesus offered to go to the man. He was on his way there. But the centurion said, no, just say the word and he'll be healed. He'll be better. Jesus heals him at a distance. In this case, Jesus could have healed him without touching him, but he doesn't. So what you have here, Jesus not touching the servant there, and Jesus touching the leper here, both show one thing, Jesus' power over sickness, his authority. The second contrast is between the Old Testament and here. In the Old Testament, if I'm correct, there were different lepers, but there were only three cleansings of lepers: Moses, Miriam, and Naaman the Syrian. If you remember the third, Naaman the Syrian, Elisha did not heal himself. He sent him to the Jordan. He sent him to the river, the muddy river. And when Naaman was healed of his leprosy, Naaman came back. He wanted to give Elisha whatever he wanted. He brought along great gifts for him. He wanted to show his thankfulness. Elisha said, No, not at all. No, I won't accept anything from you. Of course, the point is that the glory doesn't go to Elisha. The glory goes to God himself. Well, Jesus here doesn't do that. He speaks. He touches. He heals. The glory goes to him. He is worthy. The third contrast is seen between the old life of this leper and this very moment. This man had the way barred to any human contact, to any access to God. Everybody would have shrank back from him. There would have been a certain dread and revulsion about him. He would have felt this about himself as he looked at himself, his wasted body, revulsion towards himself. But what could he do? This was himself. But Jesus stretches out his hand and touches the man. I remember visiting a man in the general hospital of Tepic. This was after one of the floods that we've had there in Tuxpan on the coast. But because of all the contaminated mud, you can have clean mud and you can have dirty mud. They're two separate things, ask me after. This was contaminated mud. He got a fungal infection in his foot, which spread over his whole body, his head, his hands, his eyelids, everything. But the worst part of it, he said, was the itch, profound, deep itch inside of him all over his body. I remember reading the Bible with him. I read Psalm 38, 88, I think I read as well, Job perhaps. But then the first time I was there, he asked me to pray with him. And then I realized I was in a bind. You see, usually when I pray for somebody in the hospital, not that there's anything magical about it, but I like to put my hand on their arm or something like that just to show that I'm with the person. The contact can mean a lot also when you're in the hospital. But now what was I going to do? I remember seeing this man just covered with this infection, this fungi all over his body. And there's a certain dread and revulsion in you. What was I going to do? Well, finally, I settled for halfway. I reached out my hand and put my hand on his knee, which was covered by a nice, clean, white sheet, and I prayed for him. But Jesus, our Lord, reaches out his hand and touches the rotten flesh of this leper, and he was healed. Without a doubt, the first physical contact the man had had with anyone clean, if not, it would have been pulling away instantly, washing clean with water and instantly. I think there's a sense that we can all understand this. We have had a 2-year-long training session on the subject called COVID. I remember one of the doctors from Tepic being worried about COVID. This was back in last May. Our worst wave was in September. But he went to the doctor in May. He told the doctor his worry. "Don't move," the doctor said. He pulled out a second mask. He put it on top. He pulled out his face shield. He put it on top. He pulled out a second pair of gloves. He put that on top. He got out his spray bottle. He went around the room, sprayed down the whole room. And then he sat down at a good distance from the man and said, "Now, tell me all about it." Distance. Separation. For your own safety. We can all understand what this man lived through. But Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the man. God came into our world and stretched out his hand and touched our world to bring us back inside to be with God and with his people. There is a sense in which we all have to realize that we are like this man, marred because of our uncleanness to God. Yes, because of our sin, but not just because of our own sin. That was what God was teaching in all those laws of Leviticus. What's the point of all those laws of being unclean and unclean, of unclean foods and clean foods, of clean and unclean people? We in our Western world easily understand the guilt of sin. Many of us have been in courts, we've seen judges, we've seen it on TV at least, laws, punishments. But we don't understand so well, especially in our Western world where we are so clean, is the dirt of sin. If you've ever talked to someone who has had some terrible wrong done to them, especially if it involves the body, then you understand it. Might be completely innocent, but the dirt sticks. It clings. You can't wash it off. And then along comes the accuser, the evil one, the great mudslinger, the devil, and how he loves to take that mud and throw it right back at us. And he uses our own conscience for that end. "You're dirty," he says to us. "You're filthy. You're no good. He brought this all upon yourself." Or if we have done wrong, we've all done wrong, talking this past week with loved ones about things in the past that we regret, things we should have done and didn't do, things we did do and we shouldn't have done, regrets, remorse, a stain on our conscience. We can dress ourselves up quite nicely. This morning, my daughter pointed out to me, "Dad, you have blood on your shirt." I didn't realize it. I had cut myself here, and I have blood on this white shirt. But thankfully, I have a nice suit jacket which covers that over, so you can't see that. We can dress ourselves up quite nicely, in fact. We can look in the mirror and convince ourselves of that fact. And we want to project a certain image to those around us that we are successful, that we are doing quite well, that we have it all together. But what is behind all of those intents and purposes and washings and cleansings and makeup and whatever you want to call it? What is that showing about what's inside? As a certain man said, "I don't want anybody to see me because I don't want them to see how black and ugly I am." And we see ourselves in God's mirror. But Jesus came, and he touches the man. He said, "I am willing." He said, "Be clean." He doesn't pull back from our dirt. The Holy One, He comes into our world. He makes us clean. He to bring us back. It's the complete opposite of the work of the devil, don't you see? The great mudslinger, he washes us. He covers us. That's what God calls you to receive by faith today. That's what God calls you as his people to be a people who don't pull back from others, not just saying where it's nice and comfortable, willing to get our hands dirty so that others too may be made clean by him. But you say that's all very well for Jesus. He just uses power. Well, I can't do that. I'm not God. I couldn't just touch the man and make him better. What did it cost Jesus to do that? Well, look down at our text, Matthew 8, verse 17, what's following. Matthew quotes a passage from the Old Testament here, from Isaiah. He says, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And healing all these people, Jesus took our infirmities upon himself. Well, how was that? Did he become sick? Perhaps. Perhaps, but I think what Matthew is doing here is he's pointing us forward to something which is coming, to something which is coming, to the great exchange in which Jesus extends his hands and takes our filth and guilt and punishment upon himself to make us pure and holy. He takes that to himself. If you go back to the book of Leviticus once again, you find that this process always went one way. Uncleanness was spread by touch. Wash your hands, we say to each other. Or we said that at the beginning of the pandemic anyway, before we got tired of it. You couldn't touch a leper because you'd have his uncleanness on you. Or if someone was unclean from a flow of blood or bodily liquids, if you touch him, you're unclean. You touch his bed, the same. You touch his saddle, the same. You touch his laundry, his clothes, the same. Unclean. Uncleanness spreads by touch. Any mother knows this well. You take one clean boy, just washed, squeaky clean. You put him in the same room as a dirty, muddy boy. Leave him for 5 minutes. What do you have? You have two muddy boys very quickly. Uncleanness spreads by touch. You see, God is giving a picture here of how we all are because of our sin. We've all done things and had things done to us, which bring us shame, which make us feel dirty. And we are that. If we see ourselves rightly in God's mirror, we are that. But Jesus reached out his hand and touched the leper. If I'm correct, there's only one way in the book of Leviticus where it went the other way, where holiness or cleanness was passed by touch. Well, what was that? What was that? The opposite of boys getting dirty. The only way in Leviticus is if a sacrifice touches you. If a priest was going to take up his office, for example, to be ordained, he had to be touched on his right ear, on his right toe, and on his right big thumb with blood from the sacrifice on the altar, Leviticus 8, verse 23. If a leper somehow became clean and he was to be declared clean, part of his cleansing by the priests was by touch, Leviticus 14, he had to be touched with his ear, toe, and thumb by the priests with blood from the sacrifice. So we don't have time to see it. That's what's going on in Isaiah 6. You remember the passage, unclean, unclean, impure lips. Thinking in Spanish, the brasas, the coals from the altar touched his lips, and he was made clean. We can only be made clean through the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9, verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Jesus takes our sin and ugliness and dirtiness that we've done and others have done to us, and he takes that upon himself on the cross where he was naked before the eyes of the world. He poured out his blood for us on the cross, a sacrifice. Beloved Son of God, the spotless one made dirty in our place so that we might be made clean, so that he might say to us, pure, lovely, my joy, my pride, my bride, Zechariah 3, Zephaniah 3, Ephesians 6. So how do we get clean, beloved? How do we get clean? Not by all the hand washing in the world. Not by all the beautiful suits in the world, not by some mystical experience, not by masks covering over, by faith, like the leper, pleading, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I am willing. Be clean. He washes us with his blood, and he gives us a sign of that, of the washing with baptism. And then he says, go show yourself to the world for a proof to them. We don't really have time to see that properly. That's what Jesus said to the leper. Go show yourself to the priests for a proof to them. Go directly to the temple. Don't tell anyone on the way. Go directly to the temple. Show yourself to the priests for a proof to them. All these cleansings, washings, bloody ceremonies in the temple, touching with the ear and with the blood. It's all a sign about Jesus. He says, I can make you clean. To the priests in the temple, he wanted this man to touch this former leper and to know that he was clean by Jesus. And he says to us too, go. Go. For a proof to the world. Don't pull back. Our own instinct always, don't pull back. Go for a proof to them. Does this passage apply to our COVID times? Should we throw all caution to the wind and seek face-to-face contact every time? Well, perhaps we have, I don't know. Perhaps not. That's not a question I can or should answer. I'm a visiting pastor. But what I can say clearly, what this passage says clearly, is that our longing for fellowship, our longing for hugs, our longing for handshakes, our longing for being together, our longing for being well so that we might worship, our longing for kids so that they can play and go to school and play rough and tumble with each other, our longing for face-to-face contact without fear, without pulling back with God himself. Our longing is answered and will be answered by God himself. He doesn't pull back. He reaches out and takes us to himself. So come by faith to him and see by faith, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has total authority to make us clean and pure. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, our heaven, Lord God, our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this passage. We thank you so much for what we see here. We see this man, filthy, unclean. Lord, we see ourselves in him, and we are reminded of how quickly we are every day to cover over and paper over what is inside, Lord, and to seek to make masks for ourselves, so that you and others might think well of us. But you remind us, as we come before you, of how vain and fruitless that is. For by ourselves we are naked before you. But Lord, you come to us, and you show us another way, once again this morning. Show us the way made by the body of your Son on the cross, a way into your presence, a way to be made clean and pure of all of our outside and inside dirt and guilt and shame. Lord, you remind us in your path in the Bible of how you speak about us to those who know you, to those who confess our own sin before you, and that you cover us with the blood of your own Son and make us clean, whiter than snow, and call us beloved. Lord, we pray that we may also be a people who love to bring others to you,
We all fail in that, Lord. We all pull back by nature. And yet, you bid us go. We thank you for your goodness to us. We pray that we may know your goodness again. We thank you for your goodness, and we pray that we may show your goodness. We pray this all in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen.